Welcome in to the Vinyl Community Podcast.
Freestyle.
Freestyle. I gotta switch the art and everything, guys. So I saw a couple questions that we had in the gallery about Austin. Maybe we'll take those. Let me go bing bong boom here. Freestyle. Excellent. Maybe Jason will return. We'll see how it goes.
I've never noticed that it changes to a freestyle there.
Oh yeah. Hey Jose, this is high value. This is the best waste of my time. I've been spending lately.
Free for all.
Yeah. No kidding. Hey, Sean, Vinyl Dreamscape. Hello. Oh, hang on. Now, I do have to say this is a great call out, and it goes to anyone on our dais. Safe and Sound, Vaginal Audio Excursion. Again, not affiliated with David's channel at one bit. Says, nope. Remember to like and subscribe. Actually, I'm gonna do a cheap plug here.
Cheap
plug.
What would really be great is if you have one of these iPhones or mobile phone and you listen to podcasts, check out Vinyl Community Podcasts. Even if you don't want to listen to it, give us a review. 5 stars is great. 1 star is don't even bother. Just turn your phone off and don't even try it. But we'd really love to get more feedback on that, because then it puts us up in the pantheon of other podcasts. So that'll be my cheap plug for today. Give us a review on the podcast and say something. Just leave a star review, whatever you want to do, but it would be greatly appreciated. So there's my cheap plug for the show. But anywho, so let's see. I did see Mr. Elliot Cruz had one I wanted to save for this part of the show. Talking about the Austin piece. So Elliot Cruz says the overhead for a distant seller to do the Austin show had to have been huge. How did they make any money? So I'll take this and then we'll pass the mic. Because there's a lot of, again, I've been to this show three. You got a mic? There's a lot of like repeat sellers, like Jason was saying, Slow Mo from Albuquerque. I've seen them a couple times. Joint Custody from DC. Who else was there? I mean, so the stores that are coming, like they clear and they bring a lot of the heat. So I think it's worth it for them to come to the shows to offload some things and also sell some of the high dollar stuff, because I do think that. It's worth it for them. Yeah, Mazzy says it perfectly. He just says many of the sellers do the show circuit, and that's true. Even in my local area, we have a couple different shows. I see a lot of them coming through, and a lot of familiar faces. So, Jose, when you go, or I guess you've been to Austin, how many times now for the show?
4 times.
Okay, 4 times. So, do you see some familiar faces, and do you think that? I mean, they would have to make money on it, because you're paying for lodging, travel, all that stuff. I mean, it's clearly not for fun or, you know, community service, right?
There has to be a fee they pay directly.
Yeah, table fee.
Yeah. And I don't think it's that expensive. On this one, that guy from last show that he had all those records overpriced, he was not there this time. But there was a guy that only had 78s. You saw that guy?
I missed him. He only 78. Totally smoked.
Yeah, and next to him, there was a guy that had a butcher cover for $300, which I thought it was really cheap, and nobody bought it. It was sort of like peeled horribly, but it was a butcher still. You know, you can get it clean or whatever. But I think that most of the people there do bring their best stuff out there. For example, Slow Vinyl, I think they did amazing. They probably
crushed
everybody. Crushed. Everybody was buying from them. There were only two guys there, but everybody was buying from them. And again, I don't know how much you have to pay for to be there. I don't think it's more than $200.
It's like $40 a table. Physically, you think it's 40
bucks. 40 bucks per day? So that's nothing.
Yeah. For the whole show, right?
Yeah, right. But I think someone who's traveling from far away is depending, because you're shipping all your records.
Solo Vinyl. No,
they usually drive.
Yeah, they drive. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know where that guy came from. Maybe you know, because I was shopping virtually thanks to Jose, who was sending me pictures. And actually, thank you, Jose, for picking up.
Wow.
It was not at the fair. It was at what record store was it at?
Hang on, can we tell this story? Let's tell this story, right? Because So Thursday we get in, we hit the ground running. I had a rental car issue. First of all, don't ever rent a car where you have to go off site. It's such a pain in the ass. But that was my story. I only had a rental car for one day. I paid the $30. I'm like, okay, this is looking good. And then I saw the fine print and said I had to walk a half mile to a pickup point, like I'm a hostage, and then go and get this car. So anyway, ran late, but I picked up Jose. We just went to the record stores. Jason met up with us, I think, after the first or second one. So we went to Antone's. And like Arnaldo was alluding to, is, you know, Jose was being a good citizen about, you know, we saw a Morrissey record. And, you know, obviously, if you know Arnaldo or if you're familiar with the channel, my man's got an impressive collection of Smiths and Smiths-related albums, 45s, you name it. And so here we are. And Jose, tell me if I get any of this wrong. Here we are. And Antone's about to leave, mind you, about to leave.
Yeah, yeah. You and Jason were already out, I think.
We're out of the building. So Arnaldo, this came almost dangerously close to not happening. And so Jason and I were ready. Yeah, there was like a juice place that had records upstairs that we were going to go to. Anyway, so Jose is just like, you know, in there. He's Joseing. Is that a verb? Joseing. And
yeah, because I was talking with the owner of the shop.
It's hard to believe Jose was talking to somebody, but yes, Jose was talking. And so then he was talking to the owner of the shop, and then he had sent Arnaldo some information on this record. And lo and behold, Arnaldo did not have this record, or as an upgrade.
I don't have that.
Okay, so that's a feat in and of itself, right?
But that's the thing. Like, when we came in, we checked the rival ones, and I think we saw it, but we said, oh, Arnaldo probably already has it or something. And we were distracted because there was a very vulgar record that I wanted to buy there. Can I show it? It's a censor. Can I show it? I have it
for No. I mean, let's just say it's a lady's anatomy and a cigarette, and it's something you can't unsee.
Anything. Well, let me show it. It's very funny.
Jose, I don't know if we should be showing that. Let's just let the imagination run wild. I would hate for my channel to get shut down on that.
Yes. Yes. But it had a sticker, a very funny sticker.
Yeah, sticker and covering what you don't want to see. So.
And I was taking a photo of that. Well, you guys left, and I saw the record. I was like, I'll send it to Arnaldo. And he was immediately asking questions about it. And
good questions, yes.
Yeah, like 10 minutes, and you guys were like, what the fuck is this guy doing? And then I went out, and I was like, hey, Arnaldo wants the records. Wait. So I took photos. I asked the questions. We even went to the Juiceland record shop.
Because we were waiting on the deal to get done. So basically, Arnaldo asked some questions. It checked out. Then it became a matter of did he want it? He said yes. But then Arnaldo, and I mad respect, Arnaldo said
you got to try.
Arnaldo went straight. So keep in mind, Arnaldo is 2,000 miles away, and he asked, would they take less?
Yeah, that was great.
I made an offer, and it was a very respectable offer.
Yeah, so Jose's there.
It was like 15 bucks less, but I had 10%
off. So that's really what I was asking.
I mean, collecting, saving, I love it.
Jose was gracious enough to bargain for me. We came a little bit higher, but I was like totally fine as long as, you know, he showed that he was interested in selling the record to me. Yes. And he came close. So I was like, okay, pull the trigger, Jose. And
You know, what was interesting is like I went there because they sell records from my label, and they had sold a bunch of cassettes from like 3 years ago, and they were all sold out. So I left other stuff. And when I asked her about that record, she was like, yeah, I could put it by in the back, whatever. And we went to the Juiceland, and that's when he sent me a message that you left. It was just pretty funny.
It was like, what do you mean you left? The guy has it. I'm like, what do you mean you left it there?
Well, and he did it in a voice. I can definitely hear it in the back of my head, Arnaldo saying, like, you left? You know, like, I heard your voice, Arnaldo, in that moment when Jose is like,
here I am trying to order a copy of Chalino for Jose, and he leaves the record at the record store, goes to a juice place.
And that smell like banana, very hard, very hard. Like the smell.
I know it wasn't going anywhere because I don't think anyone was looking for it. But you never know. It's it's the weekend of, you know, the record fair. So you don't know who's in town, right?
So they definitely were thinking about taking it to the fair. I know that for a fact. So it probably would have sold, because I bought the Bob Dylan one that I showed, and something else I bought, but I don't remember what it was. But they had great stuff. So I'm guessing they were saving that one for the fair. Because they actually have it like sticking in the wall like this. But it was really shiny. So, well, hopefully
it better be good. By the way, Chance, thank you for sending it. It's currently doing the world tour of the United States. It's going from one post office to the other.
It's Brooklyn.
Now it's in Brooklyn. Do you see the history?
Hang on. I have it up here because Jose asked me. Yeah.
Pull up the history.
Oh, no. It was already in New York once. Oh, no. It was in New York.
Then it went to Massachusetts. Then it went to Connecticut. Now it's back in New York.
Well, I mean, just like Paul Ace really said, back in the New York groove. But
now I remember. I remember that I was on a different vinyl quest for another friend in Antoine's and at the Juiceland. So there were two vinyl findings happening at the same time. A friend of mine was looking desperately for a copy of Rice by
Herb Alpert. Herb Alpert, my God, yes.
There we go again.
I forgot about this part of the story. Herb Alpert and Morrissey.
Yes.
So.
Yes. I have it outside because that's not mine.
Say less? More?
Well, I will say that my friend actually got a great deal while I was waiting. And the last thing I bought from the fair was a guy. He had a copy of the 2014 Beatle mono things, the Rubber Soul. He had Rubber Soul 2014 mono for $50. And I asked him, how much you want for this? He was like, $50. And I was like, all right, I'll take it. It's mint. It's like mint condition. But it didn't have the sticker. The sticker was inside, like stick to something. Oh,
okay. Yeah. We've got a comment from the powerless Austin suburbs. This is Jason Rojas, formerly of the program a few minutes ago. He said the owner of Antone's gave us a fair price for the Morrissey album. So Arnaldo was lucky. Wow. Lucky.
So what I'll say is they're probably happy because, you know, they paid me some records and cassettes, and then all the money went back to them. So I think they were pretty happy about that.
It worked out for everybody. But I will say, so when Jose presented, he's like, my friend would like to know if you'd take X. And so they had to put their heads together. They were evaluating how long, because the first guy was like, well, we just put it out. And I was like, okay, well, tell Arnaldo that, you know, if like it comes to it. And then the one gal was like, well, bird in the hand is worth more than two in the bush, right? Like, there's somebody who's wanting to pay. So, yeah. Oh, there's the album. Don't upset Arnaldo because it's not there yet. But as it's made its East Coast tour, I think you'll get it. My guess is Saturday, Arnaldo. I don't know how that Brooklyn distribution center, do they turn things over?
Look at that grip. Look at that grip by your record.
Ooh. They arrive tomorrow.
Okay. Hopefully. All I know is
you are the quarry.
There's a Herb Alpert.
Is that the audiophile series one, or which is that?
The Herb Alpert. I bought the normal one at the Juiceland place, and then at the fair, Antoine's had the Mobile Fidelity one, so I bought two.
So the whole reason why that record is very valuable, first of all, it was pressed in very limited quantities.
All right.
I think it was 2002 or 2004. I forgot. And at that time, I was buying only CDs. So it was pressed in limited quantities, has never been repressed since. And Morrissey is notorious. Whenever he represses his solo back catalog, he changes the track listing and he changes the cover. Mm. So if and when that album gets reissued, it probably won't get reissued with the same cover or the same track listing.
All right. And this is a store we were at. Well,
that's Arnaldo, like a Taylor Swift move there, man. I'll tell you.
Where do you think she learned it from?
Yeah. Well, someone else would actually appreciate that because you can tell which is the reissue that's been tampered with and which is the original.
That's right.
Yeah,
so that's fine. It's footage from Antoine's.
It was not Antoine's. It was the Juice Land. This is the photo that I sent Arnaldo. Like, hey, the guy's like looking at the record. Invasion green.
But Megan, he's sweating, waiting for
this. Then he sends me pictures of this other vendor at the fair who has all of these other Smiths.
Records. I saw a ton of them.
I was like, can you read the text? Because he had on display a 45, which is considered the holy grail of all.
Text, Jose, let's go break fourth wall. What did this text? So Jose, I'm gonna set the scene. Yeah. Jose took a picture. I apparently took the same picture and sent to him 20 minutes later. But Jose takes this picture of a wall of all these Smith records, sends it to Arnaldo. Arnaldo is excited. So Jose, what does the text say that Arnaldo sent back to you? Read it, please. We're gonna make you big. I think we even got a story time music effect for this.
Wait, what do you mean? What do you mean? He didn't send me. He just sent me like.
No, I sent you a text.
You just said, "Holy fuck! How much is the last one?"
There you go.
But yeah, this was the single.
Okay, so what is this single, Arnaldo? What is special about this?
It's a mispress. It's the negative repress of Hand in Glove, which was the first single. It was repressed, but they made a mistake and they did a negative version of the sleeve. It never actually made it out of the plant. So there's allegedly only 25 in circulation. Only people that worked at the plant and maybe.
So how much was it?
It was $5,000.
Well, he said that the last one had sold for $7,000.
So, backstory. You tell me how much it costs. Not that I was even thinking, right? Yeah. No, actually, it was before you told me how much it cost. I immediately text this guy in the UK that I'm corresponding with, who probably is the biggest Smiths collector, and he's also a dealer in Smiths records. And I've had also a Zoom with him. We talked about future collaboration. And I said, how do I tell if this is real or if it's a fake? At that point, I didn't know how much he wanted, right? And he texts me back. I send him the picture. He's like, oh, I know who exactly is selling that. I was like, really? Like, yeah, he got it in the UK. Was the guy coming from the UK?
No.
He didn't have an accent, so I don't know.
He probably recognized the sticky note on it.
And the handwriting, I think.
I know exactly who that is.
That guy has a little bit overpriced.
Everything was overpriced. But when I told him what you told me, that it was $5,000, he's like, well, it's actually not a bad price.
Yeah. At least it was like $2,000 less.
No, he had told me that in the past it sold on a private auction for $6,500.
All right. So five was at least $1,000 less.
I know the answer to Elliot's question here, but let's just read it anyway. But what if it has a long, deep scratch when you get it? That wouldn't happen because Arnaldo wants you to put on white gloves.
He wants
you to put on a mask when you're holding the records.
The only thing that's valuable is the sleeve.
The sleeve. Yeah, that was
so the record inside.
You could Frankenstein it. You could buy the other repress that came out concurrently and slide it in, which is probably not as expensive. But it's kind of like the Mamas and the Papas toilet cover.
Sure, right. Sure. Makes sense.
That's what it's about.
That's worth $2.
So June, we didn't ask you this before, but now we have you for a little bit longer. If it's okay saying, so you're on the East Coast, right? South, kind of.
Yeah.
Are you at record shows? What's that scene like? Or is there a record show scene? Because I vacation kind of like near where you are. I don't know what town you are in this state, but you know, I couldn't really pick up if there was like a real record scene per se. Like I've been to Papa Jazz. I've been to some shops. There's one in Hilton Head Island now, blah, blah, blah. But is there like a record show scene where you are currently located?
Not in my city. Upstate, I hear that they do have some, and there's a few in North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah. So I haven't been able to make it, but it's a small scene.
Yeah, for sure. Trying to think. So yeah, so if, I don't even think, is there, Elliot, you're in North Carolina, you tell us in the comments if there's a like a record show there, because that's one thing I've always kind of scratched my head about. There's not really a big, call it Florida show or a big Atlanta show, like a regional show. Like there's a big tech
Florida. There's one in Florida.
But to the scale, or at least comparable-ish to, like, say, WFMU in New York, well, or...
Where does Bob Bradley always goes to one in... where is he from? And,
he's Kentucky. He's in Louisville.
Kentucky, yeah. Well, yeah.
Everybody's but leaving Kentucky.
Everybody's leaving Kentucky?
Well, Melinda is.
And she's going to Florida, which I don't know has a big show. So Elliot says Greg Neal shows do North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Okay. Well, that makes sense. At least it's regional. So that's good.
Yeah.
NCSCVA. But you know what? I think it's worth it. In California, I would say that there is great stuff happening all the time. There's one, I don't know if anybody here knows the name of the, but there's one every month that's really big.
Is it Orange County? Is that one every month? The Orange County Record Show?
I don't know. But a guy that I normally buy from or try to buy from, he always sells there. So I think there's some great stuff doing there. Here, there's once every month. But, that one. Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
Hey, David, I don't know. Did we do a debrief of the Dallas Record Show? Because I know seeing Vinyl Piper, Chris, in the comments made me think of it. That show that Rojas and Vinyl Piper went to, and you were there. Is that a pretty regular show?
Yeah, twice a year.
Okay, and how would you compare it to? For I guess I don't know.
It's the hall is smaller. Obviously, it's about probably half the size of Austin, I'd say.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's not. I mean, Austin is different level.
Yeah, for sure.
You can find some good deals there. It's a good show for being close. You know,
I found a bunch of stuff in upstate New York once in Woodstock. They make like on Sundays they do a bunch of stuff like that. But you know what, like. Here in Mexico City, there's one every Saturday. That's pretty big. I try to go when I can, but I'm a masochist, so I love traveling by bus.
And, yeah, apparently,
glutton for punishment, to Jose.
You know, and to the Austin show was 9 hours. 9 hours this time.
Jeez Louise!
But normally to Mexico City from where I live, it's 14 hours.
Mm. Wow. So real quick, Vinyl Piper Chris, he says the Dallas show, he just went, right?
Yeah.
The Dallas show is very similar to the Orange County show in size and selection. So it's a good frame of reference. And then John Moreno says the Orange County Record Show is the last Sunday of the month here in Southern California.
Hmm.
Jose, we've got it documented. Safe and Sound, a giant audio excursion. Quite the channel name, not affiliated with David Bianco again. It says Jose the Masochist. So there you go, Jose.
That's word for word what I said.
He's a greyhound.
He's a greyhound kind of guy, and there's nothing wrong with that. Well, Jose, didn't you say to drive to Austin would have been about 4 or 5 hours?
Four and a half hours. Yeah, but I don't have a car, so you know
that slows you down every time.
Yeah, every time I've gone in a car, we go in the morning and we arrive there at 12 or whatever, and we eat and we do whatever. But you know what? The thing about it is that I really don't mind it. And when I'm alone in Austin, I really like the public transportation there. You know,
Jose,
you were alone. You were a chance.
Did you make it? Did you make it to HEB?
Of course. Of course I went there. I went with Jason again on that Sunday. I got my wife some stuff she asked me. And, there's HEB here, so I don't really need to. But the gluten-free stuff, like Oreo.
The frown on Jose's face turned upside down once we got in anywhere near an HEB.
If anybody ever wants to VCLT me, don't even send me records. Just send me some gluten-free Oreos. That's all you
have. Send them for gluten-free Oreos. That's Jose's love language, in case you didn't know.
Yes. I don't give a fuck about records anymore. I'm just a gluten-free Oreos kind of guy.
Hey, one topic we probably should talk about. I know Jason's not here, but Steve Albini passed away.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, 62. So, I mean, not super 61. So, yeah, so that was unfortunate. But, you know, definitely of anyone familiar with music in the last 30, 35, 40 years, definitely familiar. That's kind of a bummer. Arnaldo, any kind of memories or thoughts on the passing of Steve Albini?
Well, I actually went to his Wikipedia page and read a little bit about the interaction with In Utero, which I was totally unfamiliar with, the back and forth and how abrasive he could be with the bands and the music industry in general. I only knew for him because of, you know, his work with Nirvana and the Pixies, which I loved.
Now you probably like more.
I'm not familiar with Big Flag. Big Flag's the name of his group, right?
Or Big Black.
No.
Big Black, sorry.
Any chance for Jose to show the Big Black album cover? We have to at least, there you go, Jose. And one of your personal favorites.
One of my favorite records of all time. I'll say this. He has so many records you probably don't know. Pod by the Breeders.
Yeah, I have that.
You probably have this.
I don't have Rid of Me, actually.
All right. But you should. You know, he worked with Slint, Black Midi. He worked with two bands, friends' bands here. He worked here at a studio in León, in Mexico.
Was he still a proponent of analog, even in his recordings?
There's an amazing video. Please, everybody, go and watch it, where he is slicing up tape. And he's doing cross, crossfades, analog.
Yeah.
And it's amazing the precision you have to have.
Oh, yeah.
To do that.
It's art.
It's art. So you please go and check it out. He's like cutting it and he reels to reel and puts it in and, you know, has a Gillette and cuts it and it's perfect. And it's like, wow, like that's a lost art. A lot of people didn't knew about. And, you know, Songs So High, Shellac. There's too many bands that I can name you that recorded with him. Because there's some records that he only recorded, but he was not the producer.
Well, that was interesting because I was reading about it, how he never considered himself a producer. He was just an engineer.
Right.
And he felt like it was robbing the artist.
He didn't want to cut. He said, I did a job. I'm done. I move on. You know, he didn't believe
it. He would only take his fee. Yep. And,
real quick, want to give a shout out to June. He's taking off. He's a married man and he's listening to the lady in charge. So, June, smart man. Pleasure having you on. I hope you come back.
Sub up June's channel.
Yeah, sub up June. I'm going to put his channel link in the thing below. But a pleasure meeting you, sir. And thanks for coming on the show.
Nice meeting you, June.
See you,
June. Thank you all. Thank you all. See you,
bud. All right. Take care, bud. Be good.
All right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes I think that people underestimate the power of you can call a producer or whatever, but the guy that actually records the band, it's normally someone else. For example, for all those piece of shit records from what's the guy that I hate?
Hey, Jose, that's a long list. Can you narrow it down?
Which one?
The Death Row guy.
Rick Rubin.
Rick Rubin. Sorry, my mind is not. Rick it doesn't Rubin. Work. So, for example, that guy, he's just there. He just exists. He says like an idea, and people either love it or hate it. But Steve Albini was the guy that put the microphone.
He lights the incense sticks.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
I don't know if I can keep broadcasting this assault on Rick Rubin, a tremendous producer.
You know what? I read his book. He's not a bad writer, I will say that. he has some good philosophies. My problem is that he just doesn't do a lot, and people pay a lot of money.
Now that we're on the topic of Rick Rubin, he's produced some amazing records.
Yes.
Records of artists that I would not have bought, like Dixie Chicks record is amazing. Around that same time, he produced also the Neil Diamond record, also a great record. You know, he
Johnny Cash, American Cash
was reborn, kind of like with. So whatever he does,
well, he died also while doing.
Well, whatever he does, whatever influence he has on the artists that he works with, I have total appreciation for.
Yeah, Tom Petty.
But I watched. I think it was only one episode. He did an interview with
McCartney,
Paul McCartney.
Yep, I saw it.
I did not care for that interview at all.
I did not either.
He sounded he didn't know about a lot of stuff.
That was shocking.
Like he was.
Yeah.
He sounded surprised about stuff that you should know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, he's just there for the good vibes and for ideas. Like, can you imagine telling
Paul McCartney?
Paul McCartney, he didn't know shit. Well,
no, yeah, he didn't know, like.
But does he have really a signature sound, though, if you know what I mean? Like a Jeff Lynne. Jeff Lynne has a signature
influence. I don't think so. Yeah.
No, he doesn't.
It's like, I'll say this. For example, you go with what happened with Rick Rubin. If you read and I've said it a million times before, but if you read when Black Sabbath was recording with them, everybody hated them so much. They were like, my God, they hated him so much because he wanted to bring in the old equipment. Hey, Tony, where's your original amp and original gear? And he was like, hey, I already have like a signature guitar that I use. And I have these pedals that I want to use. No, we want to do it like all, I want to do it all analog and all this thing. So my problem is that as a producer, you have to know what a band is doing during that time. And if you don't know about it when you're in studio, you have to ask them, see what they're comfortable, what they bring into the studio. If they don't bring anything, you can tell them like, hey, I'll help you with this and that. But if they already have their equipment and they're a band as big as that, because we've talked about the guy that is producing all the Rolling Stone records and all of that.
You know, Watt. Yeah.
Yeah. Mike Watt is Minutemen. Punk legend, Minutemen. But I'll say that the problem with that is that little twist they want to do, it's sort of shitty. You know,
when you pick a producer and you change producer, you are basically asking for change.
Yes, when change is fine and all, but what I'll say is that what I like about Steve Albini is that you can feel that they were really comfortable in the studio. Like Guided by Voices recorded with them, and that's one of my favorite records. I'll show this one if anybody here doesn't know the Jesus Lizard, which I guess most people here does. But for example, if you never heard this and you like bands like Nirvana, I guess, stuff like that, just the opener track of this record will make you try to buy it. It's an incredible record. It's recorded very well. And again, there's so much bands that I can name that were recorded at his studio. Or here, the one he had in León, Mexico, because he recorded a lot of bands from here. I think that, I'm a audio engineer. That's what I graduated from. And he was definitely someone that if you were in a band right now or 10, 20, 30 years ago, that's the producer you would you want to go and work with or have it at least record you. So basically, and I saw it yesterday, a lot of bands were like, hey, you know what? Like, I'm really sad that I never got to.
Well, that's what I wanted to touch on, Jose, not to cut you off, but Vinyl Piper had a good point. I think this is probably worth talking about is he said, do we discuss the death of producers? Usually it's the artist. When did the last big producer die? And I think that's true. Kind of what you're talking about, Jose, is like through my social media feeds,
countless record stores, musicians,
everybody.
Everybody was talking about Steve Albini, right? And I'm like Arnaldo, like I knew of him, and I saw some stuff about In Utero. Like Conan O'Brien did a really cool interview with Dave Grohl.
Anthony Bourdain had an interview with him.
Did he? Yeah. So I mean, interesting guy, sure. For sure. But to this point, like Chris followed up and said, you know, if Kevin Gray died, I know Jason's not here. Jason would be the perfect person to speak on the potential death of Kevin Gray. But no, I mean, to that point, you know, if Quincy Jones passed away, of course. Like Quincy is one of the Mount Rushmore producers. Oh, right?
This is a band from here, and they work with him. There's actually a video there here.
They work with Steve Albini. Okay.
Yeah. So you know, there's that.
Who would? I mean, who are some other producers or engineers that may have this kind of clout that would like literally?
Bill Ramone.
Okay. Bill Ramone. Yeah, the music world would take a breath. Right? Jose and Arnaldo wouldn't believe this, but Rick Rubin. I'm going to throw Rick Rubin's name in the hat on this one.
No, that's fine. Again, he's worked on some records that I actually love and I like. But my problem with him is just the way he works. It's just like I don't think it's worth it as much. I think that maybe you can call produce it or you can call it like that, but. The way he puts his name, like in the biggest fonts you have ever seen, producer, when he doesn't even touch a single button on the deck, not a single time, he doesn't even know.
Bring it back to Rick Rubin assault, Rick Rubin verbal abuse.
let's get back to Steve Albini.
Yeah, let's get back to Steve Albini. Yeah.
I wanted to read something that a friend of mine.
Right, we're gonna make you big, Ronaldo. Do I need to have any sad music or anything like that?
Well, no. It's
violin out.
Yesterday he posted his encounter with Steve Albini, and he said regarding Steve Albini's untimely passing today, I actually got to meet Steve after Shellac show at Lincoln Hall just before Chicago was locked down for COVID. I thanked him for all the great music over the years, Big Black, Shellac, the numerous records he produced that I love. His response was the most Steve Albini response I could have possibly hoped for. Yeah, fine, but I would have made those records no matter what you thought about them.
Yeah, you know, again, it's
wow.
No, he was a great guy. The one of the most underrated guitar players. The tones he had on that the first Big Black Atomizer. It's over there. I won't get it. And the EPs, actually, you know, it was funny. But
Brian Eno is a name we'll throw in the ring on this.
Well, country. Some people say that Brian Eno is like another Rick Rubin. He doesn't really know how to play any instruments.
No, he. You know, of course, he knows how to play.
Hang on a second. I want to take issue with that because that a charge is we get in the vinyl community, at least some of us. Very often you get the musician crowd who say we're morons because we've never picked up an instrument ourselves. So Arnaldo, that one hits close to home that Brian Eno was a musician, right?
He really didn't do much. He played keyboards, but the weird sounds and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's a synth. It's a modular synth. That's what the instrument is.
Then when he played with when he produced Bowie, same thing. He came with his little suitcase with his weird electronic sounds that were in there. But some people, I love Brian Eno, don't get me wrong, but some people think that Brian Eno can't play an instrument.
He can.
Well, hat on this one.
He can, but he's produced some horrible records. All the U2 records, I'm not a U2 fan.
Jose.
If I can spread eagle, pick someone in the nuts, it'll be every single member of U2.
And they're the biggest lines that I've ever heard of in my whole life.
He wrote a song about my country when there was the war, the blue sky, whatever. What I'll say is that, Brian Eno, questionable producing records. Talking Heads, pretty good. Laurie Anderson, pretty good.
He's a great producer. No, I don't think I disagree with what you said. He kind of changed the course of U2.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, I'll say that the only thing that I could, a gun to my head, listen from U2 is a band that he had with Brian Eno called Passengers. I don't think it ever was released on vinyl, but it's on CD and it's on the soundtrack for what's the Michael Mann movie?
Heat. Insider.
Heat. Yeah, Heat. There's a song on that album from. It's pretty beautiful, pretty great. I think it's everyone except the drummer. I don't know the name of the drummer.
No, they're all there.
They're all there?
The passengers are you too. The reason why you remember the drummer is because when he was asked, I think, what's your favorite record? I think the drummer said the Passengers record.
Yeah, but it's very pretty. Pretty sounding.
I think it's the complete opposite. I don't remember. I could be misquoted here.
All right. No, but that's a great record.
Todd Rundgren is a great producer.
Who?
Todd Rundgren is a great.
Oh, producer. Todd Rundgren. Yeah, Patti Smith.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I got to interject here with Todd Rundgren.
Hang on.
I got to interject.
Go ahead.
So, Dollar Bin Find a few weeks ago. Should I go get it?
Yeah, go get it.
Why not?
I'll be right back.
You know, Todd Rundgren, what I'll say is that he produced more famous bands than himself, and I admire that. The band, Stage Fright, I love that record. Mm. The sound is very weirdly, but the vocals, everything makes sense. Patti Smith.
Man, he cut a record 29 minutes on each side.
That's the BMM cut.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to new
DMM.
Hopefully, yeah. I want a quick shout out. New friend of the show, Daniel Adams. Comment, Jose will like this one. Daniel Adams came in, and I'm not being fine with reading this. So welcome to the show. You two suck. So Daniel Adams coming in hot. The hot take. Daniel, we like that. And you know what we do? When you come in with the hot take, you know what we give you? We give you the hardware, sir. We got to just wrench it up. Get wrenched. All right, you're wrenched up. Let's go.
Yeah, you two suck fast.
Yeah, I'm making big, Arnaldo. Here we go.
All right. So this came out, I think, last year, was repressed on Record Store Day.
Something, anything?
No.
Okay.
I almost got it. And I was like, you know what? I've seen that record around. So I patiently waited until I found it for 99 cents.
I found it for 99 cents. Plus tax.
Produced by Todd Rundgren.
Yeah,
Sean Cassidy.
Wow. Yeah, TV dude.
And I was like, you know what? I'm intrigued. For 99 cents, I'll buy it. And I was listening to it. I'm like, what is this? He does covers. He does Rebel Rebel. Shake Me, Wake Me. Pete Townsend, So Sad About Us. Then he does songs by David Byrne, Ian Hunter, and even Todd Rundgren wrote a few songs for you.
That's pretty cool. I don't know that record.
But he sound like, okay, are you familiar at all with Sean Cassidy?
No, I don't know.
He was an actor, yeah.
Yeah, he was one of the Jack Cassidy.
Like David, Shirley Jones.
Right.
He was brother to David Cassidy from the family.
And he was like a teen idol when he came out.
Yeah.
And he sang pop songs. He was kind of like, the equivalent of NSYNC at the time, right? And this was his popularity was declining. And this was the record that was supposed to be like career changer. That's why he got Todd Rundgren to produce it. And it's supposed to be a new wave record, but his singing is terrible. I don't get it.
I didn't know you're going to just destroy this poor young man's career.
I'll give it a second spin, but I mostly got it because Todd Rundgren. Yeah, let me show you the hype sticker.
Oh, it's got the hype. Cool.
Produced it. Well, the hype sticker fell off. And I was like, you know, Todd Rundgren, I don't think ever made a bad record. So I'm like, let me get this. And I got listened to the first side, and then I got through half of the second side, and then pizza came. So I had to take it off.
Well,
Arnaldo, we have the Sean Cassidy fan club of three on line one. And they
show the picture there.
Hang on a second. We got some effects.
This is where he started. This was his first record.
Yeah. Like baby face, right?
I don't feel comfortable looking at that photo.
All right, Jose, we'll take it down.
Okay, you guys aren't old enough, but David and I probably were in the age of when he was big. Remember 16 Magazine?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
David, sure. He was all over Tiger those
Beat.
Covers.
Oh, yeah. Tiger Beat, I know.
He was all over those covers.
Wyoming Dave has stormed in to the audio broadcast, and he's showing. What are you showing there, Dave?
Sound Cassidy 3-4 Do Run Run.
Oh my
God. Run. That's off that first record.
Yeah. Wyoming Dave has been living for this moment in the vinyl community for years. And Arnaldo, he just liked that Sean Cassidy.
He brought it right in, man.
Woo. Oh my God, 345 records by him. That's it.
You never thought you'd get a chance to show that on your channel.
Yeah, we didn't have Sean Cassidy in the show notes, I got to be honest with you. But now we're here. Yeah. So let's see how it's relevant. So, hey, and I also want to give Wyoming Dave a big shout out. Here's why. Because Wyoming Dave, if I'm not mistaken, is a moderator on this other stream right now.
I'm not watching him, but yeah, Steve.
Yeah, well, Wyoming
good
Dave.
Man, good man.
Wyoming Dave made the right choice because, you know, they're over there doing show and tell and talking about sound waves and all kinds of stuff. And we're over here talking Sean Cassidy. So remember that next time you're making a decision in the Thursday night streaming wars between Steve Westman and the Surface Noise crew, because Wyoming Dave, who's a moderator on that program, is over here. So the allegiance of Wyoming Dave is recognized, is appreciated, and Steve Westman, chew on that.
If he wasn't competing against you, I'd be watching Steve. So.
Oh, well, listen, hey, A-team, B-team, we're okay, and Steve's great, and Steve and I are good. It's all good.
Or you can watch that guy. He was on all night last
week. Oh, not George Boredom. God, I mean, damn good. It. I can't believe it. This guy, there's not a live stream this guy can't get off of. I mean, this guy is everywhere.
Did you say George and get off in the same sentence? I don't
know. George is in the stream right now here.
Hey, he's showing Joe Walsh albums.
Oh, my God. Joe Walsh albums. Thank God.
You can't even get that in the dollar section. You can't.
Dr. Robert's on there, man.
I know. I left Dr. Robert a nasty gram. Robert and I thought we bonded. Jose was there the first night. We're smoking cigars in this backyard, and there is Dr. Robert. He pulls them out of a plastic baggie. They were probably laced with PCP, for all I know. And then Dr. Robert enjoyed it so much, he brought more cigars on night two, and so we had cigars, but yet
I didn't have any in the second.
Yeah, where is Dr. Robert today? We had a great conversation, and Dr. Robert
he's on with Steve.
He's on with Steve Westman. Arnaldo, that's probably your seat that he has taken on the Steve Westman dais. Can you believe this? Dr. Robert is an opportunist. I can't believe this guy. Unreal.
Wait, I was gonna say something. Oh, I wanna bring out John Cale as a producer is also pretty great.
Joel McHale,
John Cale from your favorite band, Chance.
Yeah, John Cale. You know, Patti Smith, The Stooges, Nico, a bunch of Nico records that I love.
Yeah. Damn straight. Yeah, you know, listen, this Safe and Sound vaginal audio excursion is really winning me over. This channel is pro free speech. You're right. Free speech lives on Surface Noise. If you want to get censored, and if you want to have the marketplace of ideas closed on your fingers like the car door, go to the Steve Westman show. That's what's going to happen over there. I'm just saying.
That's David's buddy, isn't it?
A lot of CD.
I see. Concord buddy is actually chatting on Steve Westman.
That's right.
I smoked a cigar with Dr. Robert two straight nights, and he's ducking Surface Noise. Unbelievable. All right.
Maybe you had an optional.
Wow. You're a multitasking fool.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Dave, and it's funny you bring that up because I've noticed, you know, I don't do the manosphere and all that nonsense, but I've noticed that there's a lot of concurrent streams. Like they'll do their show and then they live stream it on the guest's channel. So I think, I don't know a lot about this, but I think they stole that idea from us on our Collectco raids that we would do. When we're simulcasting, what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, this is another idea of ours that has been stolen by these lepers in the vinyl community. I mean, listen, if there was ever a better time to play our drop about the tinfoil hats, I don't know when it was, but we're going to fire that up right now. Just while I'm tired of all our great ideas on our struggling live stream stolen by these bigger channels. This has got to stop. I'm putting it down. No.
Put your foot down.
I'm putting my foot down. Look, we've stolen the best moderator on the Steve Westman Show, Wyoming Dave. We've stolen, no doubt about it, the best guest on the Steve Westman Show, Arnaldo.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else we can do. We're gonna continue.
And the best former guest.
Oh yeah, we also have the best former guest and David Bianco. So enough is enough.
So Dave, let me ask, since you talked to Chad.
Dave or David,
like this now that the vinyl media pressing plant is it hot water?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Do you think Gary Sahlstrom is still going to be working there?
Well, I don't know. He's quasi partner, so
yeah, he has really? A stake in vinyl media proof. That was one of the things they were upset with, was he got a big salary and he got a piece of the company.
But vinyl media pressings or vinyl me please?
Vinyl media pressings.
Vinyl media pressings. Okay.
Yes. Well, I think he might be contacting MoFi for a job. Who knows?
Now, Caesar, I got to read this comment because Caesar's hit me where it hurts. Caesar says, that is why Concert Buddy has forgotten all the peanuts because he's chatting with other streams. I see. That's why Jason left. This is not true. I have been trying to engage with the great people. Listen, every one of you who is here right now is a great person. I don't know what's going on at the Steve Westman Show. I see Norman Maslov is a defector. I see John Bandy is a defector. I see Dr. Roberts a never was
on here earlier. Yeah.
I mean, this I can't believe what's happening. We were the appetizer because this show is longer. We start earlier than that Westman Show. We're the
crowd.
Yeah, right? I guess we're the opening act. You're right, Arnaldo. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, this may turn into be something. I mean, and now Jason Arsenal has made a wise choice in joining the Surface Noise Show. He said, this is the place to be. So much more 80s WWF references. You're damn well, right.
Steve said, you know, if you guys want to go south of the border, I mean, you know.
So. Andy G, my man, shout out to Andy G. Says any Manosphere folk in Westman stream. You know what? I hope they get all the Manosphere folk. We don't play like that around here. We don't need any of that stuff. Oh my! Oh, hang on. PB Thal is. I can't believe
it. PB Thal's here.
PB Thal's here. He's made a wise choice. Why
doesn't PB Thal come up?
I haven't seen him in ages. Yeah, it's been a minute. I think he was on the morning show for a minute, but.
Well, again, the morning show, I haven't been tuning in. I've been very busy in the morning.
Listen, Patrick has an open
line. You've been actually working like we're supposed to.
Hard to believe. The problem, every time I see that vaginal put up a comment, I think it's me doing it. Losing my freaking mind.
Vaginal is playing the ultimate prank. Now, see, this is – and Patrick, in fairness to Patrick, Patrick is right. He said, I never get invited here. So We're gonna solve this because Patrick wants to be invited. You have to. Oh no, he doesn't want the free link. He wants to be invited. He wants to be.
Oh well.
He wants to be on the warm up show to Westman, and then he's gonna do our warm up, and then he's gonna leave and go on the Westman show. He's gonna work himself up into a lather and come in hot like Chappelle. He's just gonna.
Patrick's a big complainer, isn't he?
You know, I've never seen a single football game, and I watched the Tom Brady roast. Everybody saw that?
Oh, it's amazing. Hopefully comedy is back because it was
not glorious. A single second of football, American football, I've ever seen in my life, and I saw it.
But you love comedy, and the comedy was ripe. It was tremendous. Yeah.
Ben Affleck sucks so much. I hope they never invite Ben Affleck again. It was horrible. That part of the show was horrible.
I don't know what's happened to Tom Brady's face over the last 20 years because it definitely has changed. But I give him a lot of credit for being a good sport because they were ruthless. Outside of his children, and they made a couple little small children jokes. I mean, they got him everywhere. They got him for leaving his pregnant girlfriend for Giselle.
Bridget Moynihan?
Who's that, Arnaldo?
What's the ex-wife?
Giselle.
Bridget Moynihan.
No, was Giselle there?
No. But they had a lot of Giselle jokes about leaving Tom Brady and going right to the jiu-jitsu instructor.
it was pretty funny.
Anyway, if you haven't seen it, it's definitely worth at least the first hour or so because that's when they had what's her face? Nikki Glaser, Jeffrey Ross, Ross Match.
What's the name of the other girl? I thought that was she was the funniest.
I wasn't familiar. Are you talking African American girl?
Sam something.
Yeah, Sam something. She was a nice comedian. They did. What's funny is so Kim Kardashian was invited, and when she went on stage, because I did watch it, like
they booed her.
They booed her, but then Netflix went back and cut it out. Out. Can you believe that?
Yeah, terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Nikki is a St. Louis girl. She went to the University of Kansas, which is not a good look. But,
you know,
but she's great. She's a St. Louis local. She's terrific.
Yeah, I like Nikki Glaser. She has like
Patrick, we should have had you on the show. I didn't know we'd go about the Tom Brady roast, but Patrick says it is bad when Tom Brady has more work done than Nikki Glaser.
I think that she is.
Yeah, no, but she was really funny. Again, Ben Affleck was the worst one, and then who else was pretty Gronk or whoever the
Gronk, listen guy. Gronk. I mean, they kept killing Gronk for being dumb, but he went up there and he even said, "I wrote some of these jokes myself."
Oh yeah. Can you believe that? It was like
it was true.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I thought it was good stuff.
All right, well, guys. Oh, hang on. David, you're showing something before. I was gonna wind this down, but what are you showing, David? What we got here?
All right. So tomorrow I will be receiving my Atlantic 75th anniversary of this album, and I'll be doing a shootout and releasing it Saturday.
Can you tell our visually impaired folks what we're looking at?
Yes, 90125.
Patrick's been wanting this one, right?
Yeah,
Patrick,
it's a US. Yep, USRL is what I'm going to compare to the 2x45 from Chad. Okay. Let the games begin.
All right.
David, was this an analog recording or a digital recording?
Analog.
It was. Okay.
Yes. Yep.
Well, Tom's got a good way to sign us off. He just says no.
No.
That's a good plug. All right, guys. Well, I think we've had a very productive show. We've established the boundaries have been set with the concurrent Steve Westman show, so we'll see what happens. I think it was a good show. I want to thank Wyoming Dave for showing up late, but showing up period, because again, we have stolen the moderator from the Steve Westman live stream. So we also have the best guest of the Westman show, Arnaldo, and we have the best former guests in David Bianco. So listen, it's like Star Wars. We're taking the legs out of that AT-AT and it's going to topple over anytime. But I want to thank everybody in the gallery. It's always a pleasure doing these. Always a pleasure. I appreciate it sincerely. When people show up, but thank my guests Jose and David and Wyoming Dave and Arnaldo, and we're going to call it a wrap. But we'll see you in 2 weeks, and then starting in June, I think we're going to go weekly, but more to come on that. So we'll see how it goes. But anyway, thanks for joining. We'll catch you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Good night, guys.
And that was another trip around the turntable. Thanks for listening to Vinyl Community Podcasts.